Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Here we go.
With the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure. As promised, Dr. Robert McTeer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's been with us since way back in 99, I think. And in those days, he was the president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank. They called him the Lonesome Dove sometimes. And one of the most interesting characters I've ever gotten to know. And he is no longer with the Fed. He was once on the Federal Open Market Committee. And we used to talk to him in those days, after the meetings, of course. And so now he's retired from the Fed and has moved on to other things. He's a distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis now. And he gets to join us now on Fed Watch Day, which is the day the Fed meets. And we got a lot of questions for him. Bob McTeer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, folks, Bob will be on CNBC's Squawk Box tomorrow as a guest host, right, Bob?
Right.
Yeah. So I know what happened. They said, can you do our show on Tuesday and for the Fed Watch? And you said, no, I'm sorry, I've got to do Jim's show first.
That's almost right, yeah. I had to turn down quite a few TV offers. They didn't want me being on TV right before I was guest hosting Squawk Box.
But right.
They forgot to mention radio, so here we are.
Right, exactly. Bob, let's dive right into the news. On Friday, I saw a report in the Wall Street Journal about Carlyle Capital, of which Bear Stearns owned a piece of, and nothing that I saw in anywhere, maybe you saw something I didn't see, but I didn't see anybody or hear anybody on Friday talking about a concern about Bear Stearns. Did you?
No. Well, Bear Stearns has sort of been at the head of the list of potential problems since their two hedge funds several months ago went bust. But it's conceivable that there was nothing wrong with Bear Stearns just a few days before it went belly up. It's an old-fashioned bank run. Now, there may have been something there, and there usually is when you delve into these things after the fact. But once a bank, and I guess that's a bank, sort of a bank, once a bank loses public confidence and people start either withdrawing their deposits or their relationships, it's pretty much over.
So there was a bank run on Friday, wasn't there?
There was a bank run on Friday, and it was on an investment bank instead of a commercial bank.
That's a distinction that needs to be
that's
made.
That's an important distinction because FDIC insurance pretty much has ended runs on commercial banks.
Right.
Everybody's deposits insured up to $100,000.
I guess so the bank,
maybe in retrospect, the laws and the rules haven't evolved as fast as things have changed.
So over the weekend, Bear Stearns basically went belly up, as you say, and because there was no confidence and they couldn't get any credit, the stock was really worth nothing. But the implications of Bear Stearns failing was too much for the Fed, wasn't it, over the weekend?
Yeah, the Fed, as I understand the sequence of events, the Bear Stearns CEO, I think, went to Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan first, and then they came to the Fed, although it could have been the other way around. The Fed traditionally doesn't lend to investment banks, so it arranged to lend to Bear Stearns through J.P. Morgan, telling J.P. Morgan, you lend, we'll back you up. But the problem is that so many relationships had vanished in the last couple of days that there was hardly anything left. And
right.
When you hear the price of $2 per share, you know, thing I think was trading for $170 a year.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
It's just mind-boggling.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
But
that's more expensive to J.P. Morgan than that sounds, though, because they will be taking on a lot of their debt. So forth, and some of that will be guaranteed for the Fed, but not all of it.
Is this unprecedented by the Fed to do something like this? It seems to me
well,
that it is.
It is unprecedented for it to be a an investment bank. The Fed, back in the banking crisis, did some similar things with commercial banks. But normally it was the FDIC that did the revolving, as they call it. That's an interesting word, isn't it?
Did you think that this was the right thing for the Fed to do?
Yes, but I must say that the people that say, why didn't you do something a week earlier and maybe this wouldn't have happened, I find that a little hard to answer. It's a little bit unfair to say that. It's like, why didn't you put in that touchdown play earlier?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, part of what the Fed did on Sunday was not just vis-a-vis Bear Stearns. They set up Lindsay. If they had done that earlier and had access to it, it might have made a difference.
If they had had access to the discount window like the other banks have, it might have been different. I agree with you. 20 Tail, we're going to be right back. More to come. More exciting information and wisdom from our good friend Bob McTeer. Stay with us. Only we're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. And the first one is where you can find the show and all the other things we do here. And that's smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz is where you can get small business answers now. Bob McTeer, Dr. Robert McTeer is our guest. He's a distinguished fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, one of the 18 members, I guess 19 members, I think it is, of the Federal Open Market Committee. They're meeting today. The new group is meeting today without Bob, and since he's retired, and they're meeting today to decide about what's going to happen with what they should do with interest rates, one of the other tools that they have. And we're going to talk about that meeting in just a minute. But, Bob, one of the things that I always look forward to is any new haikus that you have. Now I want the record to show, Bob, that when you go on Squawk Box, they don't let you do haikus. When you go on Kudlow's show, he doesn't let you do haikus. Who lets you do haikus on the air, Bob?
Jim Blasingame.
And only Jim Blasingame. Who loves you, Bob?
Jim Blasingame.
There you go. Now tell the audience what a haiku is. Tell the audience what a haiku is and then tell us your haiku.
Well, I learned about haikus many years ago in the Wall Street Journal when Japan was having such difficulty financially, and I read about this gathering in a large auditorium of Japanese CEOs, and they took turns standing up and expressing themselves in haiku. Now, haiku is Japanese in origin, and it's very structured. It's five syllables, then seven syllables, then five syllables. And so my subprime haiku, and I mean that in two ways. a subprime haiku is, if regular loans don't earn enough to suit us, maybe bad loans will.
That's so true and frighteningly true too, Bob.
Yeah, that's from the point of view of the investor. Now, I've got another little rhyme from the general atmosphere out there.
They just keep coming, folks. They just keep coming. Go ahead, Bob.
All right, let's see. My house is underwater, for sure. My car is upside down, you bet. But I'm getting me a consolidation loan and finally getting out of debt.
That's scary and sad all at the same time, Bob. And like I said, folks, you don't get this kind of rich programming anywhere else. Only on the Small Business Advocate Show. We let people like Bob flourish on this show. Hey Bob, let's talk about you talked about the run on Bear Stearns, and that's what happened to them over the weekend. And I'm not saying that there's been a run on anybody else, but National City, which is a bank that I'm familiar with, they're in about 13 states across the Midwest and recently in Florida. The Wall Street Journal reported recently that they were looking for a buyer. This is a commercial bank, Bob. This is a pretty significant regional commercial bank. Are we going to start seeing more of this?
Probably. I guess what's unusual is that this is public knowledge. Normally, that remains private until a buyer is found.
And, right.
It seems very dangerous for a bank to be known to be looking for a bank.
That's my point. But I just read that in the Wall Street Journal Friday.
Yeah. Well, sometimes reporters do their job too well.
Yeah. It surprised me to see that. So I just wonder what your thoughts are on that. Do you think there are going to be more banks?
I think a lot of banks, if they over-invested in mortgage-backed securities or over-invested in certain types of real estate, primarily residential real estate, and primarily by investors rather than people that live in their homes, some of those may well not be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be merged with other banks or bought. And
yeah.
It won't be any great tragedy for the economy, but it will be a great tragedy for the management and owners of those
banks. And the stock owners, yeah, exactly. One of the things, Bob, that we've always talked about on the show is the blunt instruments that the Fed has. You know, basically they move the interest rates up and down. They put a little money into the economy. They pull some money out of the economy. You've always called them blunt instruments. Is the Fed becoming more creative? Are they developing more strategically surgical type of tools like the discount window is becoming a better tool? They've had these auctions. There have been a number of other little razzle-dazzle plays they've been making lately. Are they creating better tools?
Well, it goes back to necessity is the mother of invention. It turned out that the Fed's traditional tools were not very well suited for this particular crisis, because this crisis is unique. The Fed is good at converting sound assets into liquid assets, the discount one. If a bank is fundamentally sound, but it just needs some liquidity, it can pledge good collateral and get reserves from the reserve bank. This crisis is not like that. This crisis has to do with fear that you won't be repaid if you make a loan, and fear mm-hmm. that your counterparty might go under if you're dealing with him. So they have had to do some new things, and the reluctance to use the discount window for fear that it will taint you and suggest to the public that you're in trouble.
Right.
And but they came up with an auction that didn't have that taint. So they just started regularly auctioning off liquidity, and they've raised the amount of that. And then over the weekend, the new wrinkle they added was they would allow investment banks as well as commercial banks to participate in these things.
And so it's made the discount window something that doesn't have a stigma, and therefore that's good news for the overall future of the economy, isn't it?
Yeah, people say, well, is he making monetary policy by the seat of his pants? And my answer is yes, thank you.
Thankfully, exactly. He's using that tool. Stand by, 10 till. Hang on, Bob. We've got to take a quick break. Right back, folks, with Bob McTeer. Stay with us.
Took it down.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. Don't want to miss a minute, a second. I don't have to, with our good friend Bob McTeer, Dr. Robert McTeer, distinguished fellow at the National Center for Policy Analysis. That's ncpa.org. He's former president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank and member of the Federal Reserve Board, our central bank, and a member of the FOMC. He now has his own website, bobmcteer.com. Right, Bob?
That's it.
Bob McTeer, they can find
my blog, yeah.
They can find your blog there and more haikus there, by the way, folks. BobMcTeer.com, and so check that out. Bob, let's talk about what's going to happen today. The Fed's meeting, their Fed funds rate is at 3%. They'd gotten down to 1%. Didn't they get down to 1% while you were still on the part of the group?
Yeah.
They'd gotten down to 1%, which is dangerously low. They don't want to go too low, so I'm betting they're not going to go a whole point like a lot of people on Wall Street say they're going to do. They're not going to go 100 basis points. I think they're going to do a half a point. What do you think?
You know, that's going to be my bet, too. Partly, though, it's sort of like parimutuel betting. You know, if you bet on the favorite, you don't win all that much. you and I will win big if we hit this. But, the fact that they have just done something would give them an excuse. The market really wants a whole point, and it probably will go down if they do less than a whole point. But at some point, they got to bite the bullet and tell the market that it can't just order up whatever. whatever monetary policy it wants.
They've got to tell the market you can't have all the suckers you want. You got to go to bed without, you know, that extra bowl of ice cream. And I do think, though, that part of the reason why they won't go more than a half is because of the way the market reacted yesterday. It didn't. It was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It may start focusing on Lehman today and go bad again. But there have been two reports of earnings this morning, and both of them were not great, but they were better than expectation, and that's good.
But, Bob, at some point in time, the Fed has got to say, you know what? Sometimes things are going to have to fail. The Fed can't bail everybody out.
Yeah. Well, actually, Bear Stearns failed from the point of view of their owners and managers.
Right. Is there a moral hazard that they created with Bear Stearns, you think?
A little bit. But once things get to be so systemic, so nationwide, so tied in with the economy, I think the moral hazard argument just has to be ignored.
It's diluted, yeah. Do you think we're in a recession?
There's a good chance that if they revise numbers later, that the fourth quarter might have been negative. Survived one revision, and it's plus 0.6. But the consumer is the mainstay of the economy. It used to use its home equity as a piggy bank.
Right.
That's no longer
there.
High gasoline prices are curbing discretionary spending elsewhere. Employment has declined a little bit, not much, but it's suddenly headed in the wrong direction.
Still a lot of people working, though.
Unemployment rate's only 4.8%.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
That's not bad.
What about commodities? Are you concerned about gold and of course oil hits us in the pocketbook every week, but oil is at an all-time high adjusted for inflation. Gold still isn't at an all-time high adjusted for inflation. Are you concerned about the commodities and the impact on the dollar?
I have a hard time knowing what to think about it. I think the commodity boom is basically driven by fundamentals, by China,
demand?
India, all these emerging economies that are industrializing.
Yeah.
As for gold, it's a little bit fundamental, but it's more speculative. I wouldn't buy gold at this price.
Yeah. What about the dollar?
Are you
worried about the dollar?
Well, I had an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal the other day, and I took a very unconventional view on the dollar. I said, for the long run, you know, a strong dollar is good, but right now, our weak dollar is serving us better than Europe's strong euro.
Mm-hmm.
And I made an analogy with St. Augustine's prayer about chastity. Remember, he said, oh, Lord, make me chaste, but not just yet. And the title I put on my op-ed was, oh, Lord, give us a strong dollar, but not just yet.
Yeah.
Of course, they changed the title as well as my wonderful first paragraph.
As they often do. So you think the dollar is okay right now, and it's actually serving us well. Sort of like low interest rates are not maybe not what we'd really like. It's not helping inflation, but it is helping the economy.
Yeah, well, I wrote that article 6-7 weeks ago, so the dollar wasn't quite as weak then as it is now.
Right.
December is the first month that the weak dollar really did us much good. Exports went up 2.2 million and imports went down 2.2 million. We need to let that keep on for a while.
BobMcTier.com, folks, is his website. Dr. Robert McTier. Watch him on Squawk Box CNBC tomorrow. Hey, Bob, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Bob McTier, folks. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.